I'm on the edge. Don't push me over.
Mike 1-4, Rudge, you roger?
Mike 1-4, we're trying to get you for half an hour, Rudge. Get your bleeding radio off again, over.
No, Rudge, I must have been parked up in a blind spot, sorry, Rudge.
Yeah, Rudge. Now, if you're sitting comfortably, I want us to get our little pad and pencil out.
Great bloody pen.
Now, have we got our little pad and our little pencil? Is our little pencil sharpened?
Bloody hell, where's that pad? Right, Rod, just hang on 1 second. Oh, where it is. Rightio, Mike 1-4 ready and ready to go, Roger.
Okay, pick up a Mr. Salah from the Zanzibar, Roger.
Oh, the Zanzibar, yeah, Roger. Mr. Salah?
No, Rog. Mr. Salah, S-A-L-A-H. You've got that, you witless son.
Yeah, Roger, be there in 2 seconds.
Yeah, Rog, that's cash to Victoria, Rog.
Great. Right, got that, Rog. Thanks a lot, Rog. Okay, Rog, over.
Are you sure we can catch this train on time?
Don't you worry about a thing, Mr. Seller. I'll have you there. Mind you, Friday night, traffic being what it is, all the BMW drivers, executive types, no 15 hours a day there. Off at 3:30, pick up the wife and kiddies, off to Weybridge or Beaconsfield, down to the family cottage. Can't be bad. Weekending in Devon or the Cotswolds, or visiting Nana and Grandpa in Bath. God, that's the life. Hey, Mr. Salah? You got family, Mr. Salah?
A big good person. Oh, no!
Yeah, we got a little boy. Albert Jr. I'll call him Albie. I know dads are always going on about their kids, but I tell you, this boy is just too much. He's like a cross between Dennis the Menace and the Buddha. Yeah, well, he makes me laugh. Well, I don't get to see him as much just now. You know, with me working these crazy hours and all that.
Excuse me, isn't this the station?
Yeah, there she be. Now, don't you fret. We'll negotiate this little queue.
No, I'm sorry. I have no time. I must rush. Yes, that mustn't miss his train.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Go safely now.
20 quid. Cool.
Thanks, Mr. Seller.
Oh, there's still a few about.
You can't park here, you know.
Oh, sorry, miss, I was just going.
Hello.
He's left his bag. Better see if I can catch him.
Here! Where do you think you're going?
My passenger's forgotten his bag. I'll be right back. I've just got to try and catch him.
I can't find him. No chance in that mob. Hey, what are you doing?
What's it look like?
Oh, come on, love. I only just got this job and you're cutting my income in half. All I just wanted to give the man his bag back.
Oh, no brownie points on the ear, darling. You're lucky you haven't been towed away or clamped parking here.
Oh.
Now, take your ticket like a brave lad before I have that copper do you for obstruction.
Oh, thank you, love. You really made my day.
Hop it.
All right. I hope the poor man ain't got nothing he really needs in here. Holy Mother of Mercy. This is not true. Oh. People do not jump out of cabs and leave bags full of money behind them. Look at it. It's 30 great big stacks of... Oh, my God. A Queen and Kaleidoscope with a few Shakespeare's here and there. No one will... But, oh, my God. I better... Now, put yourself together. I've got to find a quiet place to think.
Mike 1-4, where are you, Wally? You free of Victoria yet?
free of Victoria Station? Yeah, you could say that, Roger. Over and well out of it, mate.
You're right, Wally. Roger. Wally, where are you, Wally? Ah, forget it, you bird. It's the last job you get out of me, you incompetent nit.
I'm 60.
£175,000. I'm sitting here with £275,000 spread over the back seat of my car in neat little stacks. Maybe if I close my eyes, it'll go away. No. It's still there. Well, what are you going to do now, Albert Poole?
Detective Constable, if you can drag yourself away from whatever scintillating reading matter you're beguiling the golden moments with, the people of the great metropolis would like to avail themselves of your redoubtable deductive powers.
What? Oh, yeah, sorry, Gov, I was just...
Oh, what is it today? Is it Chandler, McIlvenny, P.J. James? The history of the horror film.
Hey, it's riveting stuff, Gov. I'm up to the chapter about Roger Corman. Did you know that Jack Nicholson and Donald Sutherland and even Francis Ford Coppola...
Fascinating, but today's slice of Scotland Yard Gothic waits upstairs in Broadbent's office.
Oh, right, Gov.
Oh, and Druidstone.
Yes, Gov?
If you want to get this partnership off on the right foot, spare me the following phrases and expressions. To wit... Gov, Patch, Manor, Old Bill, My Old Son, Sunshine, It's a Fair Cop, Shooter, Kitted Out, Fitted Up, or Grassstone. Life does not imitate art imitating life in this department.
Oh, sorry. Not really. What do you want us to call it?
Well, let's try Sergeant Harley. Or even Sarge for now, just see where that leads us. Now let's go and see what my least favorite bureaucrat has in mind for our next expedition into the seamy side.
Queue, isn't it?
Sorry about the delay, sir. There's a go slow at Calais. It's not us for once, but it has put the schedule out of it. May I see your ticket?
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Got it.
That's fine. You'll be sailing on the Spirit of Free Enterprise. We expect a 7:30 departure. Here's your boarding card.
Lovely.
Just follow lane 2 around to passport control, and a bit further along, they'll tell you which board lane to park in. I think you'll have plenty of time for duty-free.
Passport control?
Yes.
Well, I thought, you know, come and mark it.
Is there some problem?
No problem. I think I've mislaid my...
Oh, dear. Well, that is a problem. Perhaps if I contact my supervisor, assuming you have some other document...
No, to tell you the truth, I think I've left my wallet behind as well. If you could just... Can I turn around here?
I'm awfully sorry about this, sir. Are you sure there's nothing?
No, my mistake. If you could just tell me how to get out of here.
I can assure you, Mr. Stoller, we'll be doing everything in our power to recover... here he is now. Come in. Detective Sergeant Hardy, and...
D.C. Druidstone, sir.
Yes, of course. Sorry, Detective Constable, taking a few days to... Well, anyway, this is Mr. Salah and Sheikh Marwan, Consul General of Mr. Salah's embassy.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
Mr. Salah and Sheikh Marwan were just leaving, but I wanted to impress upon them the seriousness with which Scotland Yard is treating this matter. As I said, we are, even while I speak, throwing a net over all air and seaports.
True, sir, and here's what we've been able to find out so far about the missing cabby. You'll notice... that there is no record of any Albert Stanley Poole ever having applied for a passport, and apart from some overdue parking tickets and being an undischarged bankrupt, there's not a lot to be gleaned from the records.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a case for good, solid detective work. That's why I've given it to you to handle on the ground. I wanted to get on his trail, find out who he is and who he turned to. You've got the file, and as I've explained to our visitors, there's no one likelier than you to ferret out this man Poole and bring the money back to its rightful owners.
Very kind of you to say so, sir.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Yes, of course. Detective Constable Driston, will you see the gentleman out?
Sir?
Hardy, I won this one. Got national coverage. The man's photo is everywhere. TV, newspapers. I've cast the net wide. It's up to you to hook him. Don't let me down.
Yes, sir.
supercilious, self-seeking son of a...
What? Sorry, Sarge.
Nothing. Just my nostrils are hypersensitive to certain smells. Now, let's kill this case as fast as possible.
Whatever you say, Sergeant Hardy.
Oh, leave the facetiousness to me, Druidston. I can see that it's not your strong suit.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Who is that? Come in already. I can't see you standing all the way over there by the door. Oh, be very, very careful. Don't trip over the Genghis Khan outfit. You break anything, you've got to pay for it. This is very high quality merchandise here. A lot of it's delicate. Just look what some klutz did to the horns on this Viking costume. How can he do such a thing? What was he doing?
Well, I don't really...
I'll tell you. He was opening wine bottles with them, and then he was making like a bull, putting the helmet over his head and charging round like a mashugana, a crazy man.
Well,
oh, used to be a klutz clientele with head. Now it's all Misha Goyim and pop promo producers. You know, we used to work for Alexander Korda. Oh, what a gentleman. Six wives of Henry VIII. What a movie. The Hunchback of Notre Dame and that Charles Lawson. What a mensch. So, what can I do to you?
Well, all I actually wanted, I mean, what I'm looking for...
What? You got a problem? You don't know what you want? You come to the right place. I got a sixth sense about these things. You, my Tatra, need the Genghis Khan costume. Don't ask why, I just know.
Well, yeah. I think... Yeah, maybe you're right.
Right! No more clowns left, anyway. They're all out. Wouldn't give it to you even if I had one. You need a change. The Genghis Khan costume is the one to do it. And boy, what a helmet you get. Here, come here. Let me put it on you. Oh, viva the Balabasta.
Balabasta?
Just look. You can do anything now. Rule nations. Conquer all obstacles.
Yeah, conquer all obstacles. Excuse me. Does the costume come with a moustache? I'd really like a moustache.
Moustache? Boy, chick, you want a moustache? I get you a moustache. Here. Oh, no. Here. Oh. Here it is. This is a moustache that is worthy of the great Khan.
Thank you. That's great. That's perfect. Thank you. For everything.
Think nothing of it.
I've really got to be going now. I'd really like to talk to you again.
Well, I'm here all the time. Now that Arnold passed on, all I got is my costume. We didn't have no family.
I'm sorry.
No, please. I'm not a sad old woman. I got plenty of friends and youngsters. The young ones, they come into my shop with the little magic shot skin. Funny noses, pens with disappearing ink. Cushions what make hearts alive. I can see their little faces light up. Sometimes I feel the mischief behind their eyes and it makes me young. I give them magic things and they give me. So don't you worry, darling. I got a big family. No, you look after your costume, old fearless warrior, and return it in good condition, not like those snorers.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that. Could I buy it instead of renting it? Including the moustache, of course.
But why, chick? Costumes are for changing. Even Genghis Khan. You need freedom. One costume is like a jail sentence.
I understand, but it may be impossible for me to return it. I'd hate for you to think that I would just run off with your costume.
What is it, my boy? You look pained. Tell me, can I help?
You already have. Thank you. I can't say now. Maybe next time. Please?
Okay. This is what you do. Give me £100 deposit and I hold it for you. When you return the costume, you get the deposit back.
Thanks, that makes me feel better. Here.
Cash? You don't have to pay cash. A check would do. Credit card.
No, I prefer it. Can you do me one more favour? Would you put my moustache on for me and show me how to do it?
But of course, your worship. The moustache of the great Genghis Khan coming up.
Hello, car service. May I help you?
Sorry about this. May I tell you anything?
Well, could you hold me?
Oh, Sergeant Hardy, I'm sorry about this. I'll be right with you, right?
Any time, starting immediately.
So, this is the centre of operations, is it?
Why is it that minicab offices are almost seedy?
Seedy, perhaps, but I sure like some of the equipment.
Oh, you mean Lynn? Yeah, she's much more important than just decoration.
I think I'm in love.
I suppose I should be grateful you're thinking at all.
Oh, thanks. Is that what's his name, Glenn?
Yeah, he's a controller.
Yeah, so as soon as you're clear with that part of the wheel for 4-9, let me know. I may have something else going that way. Did you get that, 4-9?
You have to fade in order for all 4-9 to get it.
Is that you, 1-6? Stop being so cheeky. Hang on, I'll stop feeding you work from that all-night sauna at Fred Street. Ah, I'm sorry for keeping you gents. It's been a busy lunchtime. Now, what's up, Mr. Hardy?
You're looking a bit prosperous, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. I put on nearly 2 stones, all the desk work. 4 12-hour shifts, and all I want to do is sleep and eat. Wife gets fed up and all.
Well, let's get to it. I need to know about this Albert Poole, Glenn.
Oh, Mr. Hardy, not a word of a lie. I'm as sick as a proverbial over that. Of all the lads to walk into a gift from the gods like that, and it turns out to be the biggest wally on the circuit. If it'd been one of my regulars picked up the geezer, he'd have had to book a ticket to Rio to ask me any questions. I'd have been out of here like that. A few of the lads that was nearby might have done the job if they wanted it. A borderline suicidal. One of them packed it in altogether, said he's going to settle down and become an accountant. The only good thing is a lot of other cabbies from the other firms have heard about it and are flocking to us on the off chance, like.
He was mostly a night driver, wasn't he?
Yeah, he used to start around, 5:30 to catch the last of the day work, and then he'd almost always stay out till dawn, even when there wasn't any work. I don't know why. Oh, God, it was useless. I did try to teach him how to, I'll make something of it.
Yeah, I know. Druidstone, please leave that young lady alone, will you?
Yes, sir, yes.
And what else can you tell me?
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Mr. Hardy, he was a nice geezer, but he was always on about his kid. I mean, a lot. But he had no real nous. I don't know what he thought he was doing trying to be a minicab driver. What the hell he was up to all night long. But I think he's had money problems or something. Had some business, went up to Swanee or that. I'm not sure, but I don't think he lives with his missus anymore.
Did you do that list I asked you for?
Oh, yeah, I've got it right here, Mr. Hardy. Yeah, it's all the regular places he dropped and picked up from. We've got a few late-night clubs where we do the punters and then take the staff home.
Yeah, well, this'll do for a start. And, Glenn, keep your ears open.
Of course, Mr. Hardy. You don't have to ask twice. I'll be on to you if I hear even a whisper. Mind how you go.
I should think this'll do for a start. You never said anyone personally.
Oh, we go back a bit. Yeah, there was this minicab firm that was acting as a distribution network for a drugs ring. Sending unaccompanied parcels around when we busted it. Most of the drivers really didn't know what was going on.
He was one of them.
Right. I suppose he really should have gone for trial, but sometimes in these things, when it's a big collar, a lot of little people get sacrificed to make the DPP look good. And I didn't want it on my conscience, so I cooked the books a bit. Left out one or two salient points.
I thought we were just law enforcement and the court decided about the other.
Right, Druidstone, absolutely right. Full marks for recitation of it. You can even tell me what page of the little blue book that's on. Let's just say, sometimes my sense of justice outweighs my commitment to law and order. Call it my discretionary powers.
Sounds a bit godlike, doesn't it?
Talk to me about it again sometime. Believe me, take this job seriously, you're going to have a few sleepless nights out of it. And I don't mean letting a fellow mason off a drink driving charge. Now, what I want you to do is to get onto this list of nightclubs that our man used to pick up from, find out who the night doorman is, and jot his name down for me. Minicab drivers almost always have to give a backhander to the doorman when they pick up a punter from one of these places.
Right, but I mean, how's it going to help us?
I don't know for sure that it will. I'm just trying to find out how many people our Albert was close to, and who might be likely to help him. He's either going to ground or he's trying to get out of the country illegally. He can't do either by himself. He needs friends in low places.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe.
Oh, don't look at me like that, son. It's not the daftest thing you'll ever have to do in this job. Look on the bright side.
You get to know where the tastiest strippers hang out, and you can even brush up on your Maltese profanities.
Yes, sir.
Good lad. Now, I'm off to see our wandering boy's wife. Think you can find your way to Crouch End from Finsbury Park? Or should I call a minicab?
Oh, I don't know. Have a look at that one.
Can I have a look at that one? Can I have a look? Oh, very shrewd. Very shrewd, Mr...
Khan. Mr. Cohen.
Ah, Mr. Cohen. Very shrewd indeed. I have many customers of the fate, shall I say. And I'll tell you what, every one of them has a sixpence, and I for a bargain. And my friend, are we looking at a bargain here? A 1978 Cortina on the outside, but inside. The grace and grandeur of a Granada. And when I tell you how few miles she's done, you...
Khan.
Pardon?
Khan, it's Khan, not Cohen. Actually, I'm an eighth Punjabi, can't you tell?
Yeah, well, Punjabi, of course, now that you mention it, of course. Oh, yes, noble people, how could I fail to see it? I mean, that was stark, the way you carry yourself. And believe me, some of my best customers, oh, shrewd, let me tell you.
Aye for a bargain,
oh,
eh?
Oh, exactly, took the words right out of my mouth, right out of...
I'll take it.
What?
The car, I'll take it. Will cash be all right?
Give a... cash? Will cash be all right? Harry, look after the front for me. Come this way, Mr. Khan. Will cash be all right?
What exactly did he mean by that, Mrs. Poole?
Look, I want to be helpful, but honestly, that's all he said. Oh, he's always on about his little dream house and the door doing that he was going to build himself for the three of us. He was always working on the design. Door, door.
You, him, and little Albie?
I don't reckon he's ever got as far as Dunstable, let alone the door doing.
And, where's Albie now?
Where is he? I'll tell you. He's in his bedroom playing with his Lego building blocks. Mum? Can I build our house? Like the one me and Dad are going to build together and all? Living? Mum? Can I? Wait till Dad sees it. Oh, I'm so terribly sorry. I haven't done that for ages. I thought I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Oh.
They told me at the minicab office that he spoke about the boy a lot. They must have been pretty close.
He loves the boy. What's not to love? He's a great kid, lovable and loving. Albert talked about doing things with Albie. He talked about building that stupid house together. He talked about all the good things they were going to do together. I think somehow Albert thought he did do some of those things. That somehow he was actually doing them when all he was talk.
And you're separated?
Yes, about a year.
Oh, not long after his company went bust.
God, it sounds like the rats in the sinking ship.
I couldn't possibly know, Mrs. Poole, and even if I did...
Look,
I
stood by him time after bloody time. It was all promises and no delivery. Even when the business was going well and he was getting maybe a flat or house a week to renovate or whatever, only Albert could bring in two partners' friends. They robbed him blind. And guess who was left holding the bag? Oh, he's not bad or horrible. He's just pathetic.
Sounds like you had a pretty rough time of it all in all. You're probably well rid of him.
No. I don't mean to sound so bitter. I still care for him. God. If you had only seen him at the beginning, before it all went wrong for him.
I think I can guess. I know a little about unfulfilled expectations myself.
I should have known that it was okay to go through a bad patch. That it was okay to have your tail between your legs for a bit. That your real friends don't care. That they like you whether you're up or down. But he couldn't see that. He was so embarrassed, so full of hurt, pride. He did everything he could to dump his friends and be alone. If he'd only been a bit gentle on himself.
sympathetic.
So, there's no one you know of that he'd turn to for help now? Practical help?
No. No one. So it's back to the smart cop, is it? Draw the little woman out. Let her pour her heart out and see if she gives anything away. And I thought...
You thought what?
I don't know. You seem to understand.
I don't have time to explain, and maybe I can't explain it all just now. Will you just answer my question? Is there anyone you know he would turn to?
Albert had loads of friends, but no more. They've either ripped him off or he's let them down.
Yes?
For what it's worth, he used to mention one guy at the minicab phone. I think he was some kind of dispatch rider, you know, motorcycle messenger. He said they were mates. I think Albert said they were mates. I think Albert said that this guy had an accident a few months ago. Albert hadn't mentioned him recently.
No one else?
No, no one.
Right, here's my number. If Albert calls again, tell him to contact me.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I'm not playing the good cop ruse. Just tell him to contact me, will you?
Yeah. All right.
I've got one other request before I go.
What?
I'd like to say hello to little Albie, if that's all right.
So they found his car abandoned. So what? He may be a Wally, but he's not a complete bug.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, sir, his two-way radio wasn't in it.
Nicked?
No, no. All the doors are locked.
You abandon your car and you still lock the door? Sounds a bit too cunning.
It can't be he went to sell the radio. I mean, it's not as if he needs the money, is it?
Well, it's just a sense of humor in the line of duty, I apprehend, Ruth. Well, what about these dives? You get that list I asked for?
Yeah, I've got a good few names. A pretty sleazy most of these places,
oh,
huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah, plenty to check out here. What a bunch of lads, eh? Soho Dome and they're a breed unto themselves. You fancy a night out?
Sure, where?
Where do you think?
Oh, no.
Right, on to Soho for a few hours, maybe a Chinese takeaway, and then I want you to drop me off back at the minicab office.
When do you plan to sleep?
When do you plan to stop asking stupid questions?
Excuse me?
Sorry.
It's all right. Why the minicab office?
I've got a feeling.
He'll be pleased. You're his first visitor in over a month.
Been down, has he?
It's only to be expected the first couple of months. There's lots of readjusting.
I suppose there's no hope.
Hope? He is alive.
I mean that you'll ever walk.
Miracles happen. There's a magic bullet for everything somewhere.
No hope.
Not with a severed spinal cord. Here we are, and don't stay too long.
Paul? Paul?
Albert! Mike 1-4 come in. Mike 1-4, where the hell are you for this pickup, Mike 1-4? Hey, fancy seeing you here. Yeah, what's this parcel? A delivery? Didn't know the firm had this place as an account.
I'll leave it out. This, mate, is a little surprise for you.
What, a box or a moustache? Dear, oh dear, what do you look like? I tell you, I've had all the surprises I need. I'm still getting over the one where the driver signals left, decides to turn right and sends me into orbit.
Everyone's been asking after you.
Cobblers, there ain't been one of them.
No, straight up, Paul. In fact, the drivers and bikers and even the dispatchers had a bit of a whip round. And I was nominated to bring you this small token of our esteem.
Small? Are the ceremonies over? Can I see what it is?
You're looking good, Paul.
Yeah, all things considered.
Yeah, all things considered.
Now, you're supposed to say, oh, when are you getting out, Paul? And I say, oh, the doctor's reckoning in a couple of weeks. And you say, great, we'll go out for a celebration bevy. Right, Albert? That's the way the conversation's supposed to go. It ain't going to go that way, is it?
No. The one I had in mind is where you're very depressed and I keep changing the subject trying to cheer you up.
You're something else, you are. What a wally.
Yum, pa pa pum 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 pum.
Oh, wow. A typewriter and a telly, just what I always wanted.
Now, stop taking the mickey for a minute, will you, Paul? It's a home computer.
No. And I thought you would have bought me a pair of roller skates and a year's supply of hockey sticks.
And here's the manual and a few of the games and that. You'll love it, Paul. You really will.
Yeah, it's great to know that if you're a paraplegic in the 1980s, there's plenty to keep you occupied.
Oh, for, Lee.
Sorry, Albert. Sorry, mate.
Sure. But I got to be off.
Yeah.
The nurse said that if everything goes okay, you know, won't be long before they'll be able to help you find a place of your own in that.
Yeah, one with a hydraulic lift to get me onto the bog.
Come on, it'll be okay. You'll see.
Bloody optimist.
Here's an envelope with what was left over from the whip round. Use it for stuff for the new place. You know, for some... well, whatever you need.
Albert, what is occurring here? I don't believe any of this about a whip round. Not for a minute.
Paulie, I've got to be going. I'll try and keep in touch. You look after yourself now, all right? I know you'll be okay. I'll see you.
Albert! Albert! Oh, you rat bag. Whip round my... what the... this is money. This is real money.
97 pence, please, sir. Don't get many foreigners asking for guineas. You don't mind my saying, that's a very unusual moustache. Very, handsome it is indeed. Don't mind my asking where you're from?
Dubrovnik.
Oh, that's nice. Mind you, I don't hold with the common market in that. But it's very nice to meet you. And I hope you have a pleasant stay.
Thank you very much. Lovely country. Nice people. Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me, eh? May I sit here?
Oh, if you can, love. It's a free country. You make yourself nice and comfy. Sit yourself down right next to Ethel here. And real close to the bar so I can serve you better.
Bertie, you're the one. Don't be supposed.
And why not? Nice young man. Looking for company and a bit of a laugh. I haven't upset you, have I, love?
Not in the slightest, madame.
Oh, madame. You hear that, Ethel? Madame.
Foreigner. Canadian, I bet.
Oh, that's never a Canadian accent. Tell Ethel where you're from, love. Watch my lips. Where you from? Got to talk slow so he understands.
Dubrovnik.
God bless you.
Oh, Bertie, you are a god!
Oh, I'm sorry, love, couldn't help it. No offence. Seems such a nice boy. Over here on holiday, are you? Enjoying yourself?
Yes, yes. Very nice country. Good people. Very nice.
See, Ethel, see? He's a nice young man and he's a foreigner. You have your pint, love, and take no notice of Ethel here. If you ain't from my land, you're a bloody foreigner as far as she's concerned.
Wow.
Hey, let me feel you, my star.
Police today released this photograph of Albert Poole, a missing man, taken 4 years ago. It is said to be a reasonable likeness. A police spokesman said that they are confident that Mr. Poole is still in the country and it is only a matter of time before the case is resolved. Police also believe it is quite possible that Mr. Poole may be suffering from shock, and anyone, including the missing man himself, with any information...
imagine that! £275,000! Best of luck to him, I say. Don't know what all the fuss is about. You win that four times over on the pools and with the bingo. Here, you got a copy, Ed? Oh, I never looked at my number today. What do you think of all of this, mister?
Ah! Oh, what is it, Bertha? What's wrong?
Look! Look!
What's that?
Big, long, hairy thing. What? It looks like that young man's moustache.
What have I always told you? Bloody foreigners.
Who's that?
It's only me. Don't fret.
Do you know what time it is? What kind of time is this to be coming home? Might have had the decency to phone.
Decency has got nothing to do with it, and I'm not coming home. I'm just getting a change of clothes and my shaving gear.
If you finally decided to move out, you could have at least chosen a more civilized time.
I'm not moving out. I'm on a case. Where the hell is that overnight bag?
Look, Alex, do you want any help?
No.
Do you want a cup of tea or something?
No.
Do you want to talk about it?
No! All I want is this bag.
Look, Alex, I can't cope with this much longer. When I see you, what little time you do spend here, I have to tiptoe around you. You won't talk. The slightest thing sets you off. The only thing you do these days, apart from work, is sleep. And you do precious little of that.
Ah, here it is.
Hardy of the Yard,
The joke. It would be bad enough if any of this ever got you anywhere. The best you get from that bastard Broadbent is an occasional well done while he basks in the limelight. You should have been made chief inspector 10 years ago, for God's sake.
I am not in the mood. I've got a headache. Oh, sorry, that's one of your lanes, isn't it?
Oh, facetious to the last. No matter what the issue, that's always your way of evading it.
My partner's waiting outside. I'm late, love. Let's work it another time.
You're pathetic. That's what you are. Pathetic.
Sure you're up for this, Sarge. Seems like an awful long shot to me. And you look knackered.
What?
Hell. You look like hell, sir. Why don't you get some kip? There's a fallaway couch at my place, you know, I mean, I don't want
to... Did you phone Glenn?
Yes, sir.
Oh, call me, sir, one more time and I'll clock you.
Sorry?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What did he say?
He says no problems. He's had his night driver switch to Channel 3, so if Albert's got his radio on, you and he will be the only ones on that channel.
Is he able to set me up a mic in another room?
Yep. He says he'll show you how to play with it when we get there.
If we get there, would you like to look at your A to Z?
I wish I were. I mean, I'd like some company, I mean...
Look, come on, it's off an awful night. Coming out the cold.
Oh, I can't. I really can't now. But why don't you take the night off for both of us?
Here, what's your game? I know me right. This is entrapment or something. You must think I'm thick.
No, please, hang on. Really, I just thought, you know, have some dinner, go to a show, buy a new coat or something. I didn't mean any harm.
Hey, Chaz! Come here, help me out! Come here, Chaz. Quick, you start weird.
Jeez, I'm sorry, love. Look, really, I was just quite well.
Hey, you come back here. What's all this thing? I don't know. Jesus, either the pervert or the old Bill. Look, mouse. It's getting harder and harder to tell the difference these days.
Albert, this is Detective Sergeant Alex Hardy. That's a long shot for some, but I reckon you still have your radio. Anyway, I don't have that many options, and I don't think you do either. Look, by now you must have realized that you can't leave the country. What are you going to do? Wear a disguise for the rest of your life? Change your name? What happens when you're stopped for having a faulty headlight? And oh, by the way, sir, may we see your driver's license? You may be able to hide for a while, but what kind of life are you prepared to live, Albert? You'll be a fugitive in your own body, Albert. Who's going to help? From what I've heard, that's not you, Albert. You may be a fool, but I don't think you're an idiot. Contact me. We have this channel all to ourselves. We'll work something out. Really. Over and out for now. Think about it, Albert.
You said it was easy doing anyone a favour.
Come on in, Bats. Put a few feet left on the bar. Dancing, dining, discos. Delicious jollies. Delicious delights of the night. Your dreams come true. Your prizes are all for a private entrance charge. New members welcome. A Ladies Cave, the newest in place in London. All major credit cards accepted. Ladies night tonight. All drinks off price before dawn.
Mess.
Dance to the best disco in Soho or relax with one of our delightful debutante hostesses, whose only thought is your pleasure.
How's business, Mess?
What do you think, mate? Tuesday night, middle of February. Bloody awful. Oh, my God. It's in the Phantom of Finsbury Park, the patron saint of bankrupts and minicab drivers.
It's Albert.
Alpha, what in the... Here, let's retire to a cosier and more secluded part of the establishment. Come on, there's only me and Roz downstairs. You'll be chuffed a bit.
Horace?
Yeah, boss?
Horace, do the spiel for a bit.
Huh? I never done this before.
All you got to do is read off the little cards. Don't worry, son. This could be your big break. You don't want to be a bouncer all your life, do you?
But what if somebody really wants to come in?
Some bloody hope. Just relax, Louis.
Okay, if you say so, man.
Good lad. I'll have Ross send you up a light ale in a bit.
Right, long to man. And no tea.
He's aging now, Horace. A real find. Chips bought him now. Best minder in the street now. He's got a black belt in karate and voodoo. After he chops your head off, he shrinks it for you.
A real find, I tell you.
He's a big boy, all right. Even makes you look small.
No offense, man. No taken, son. I'm glad you noticed I'm down to 17 stone and dropping. A mere shadow, Albert. A mere shadow.
Hey, Ross. Look who's come down in the rain.
Albert, is that you now? Oh, you look awful.
Hello, Ross. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, dear. Fine. Ducking and diving and still working for the Hulk here.
Oh, no.
And the Maltese cross. Here now. Do you remember the time Albert picked up that fast-out punter who wanted to go to Stockwell?
Stockwell.
And 6 hours later, Albert rings from Manchester, asking which part of Stockport he should drop the geezer off.
I do.
Oh, dear.
Don't remind me. I'd have borrowed a tenner off him for petrol to get back to town.
Hey, Ross, can't you see how Albert's got a lot on his mind? Look, whip him up something and bring it in the back. Bring a couple of bevies in, too, while you're about it. No. On second thoughts, I'll take the bottle. Come on, Albert. We can put our feet up while you tell your Uncle Max all about it.
Hello, car service. Hold on, I'll put you on second thoughts. Glenn is back from the control of war with John.
Tell him to go and
take it. You tell him. The third time he's been on.
Oh, all right, then. What are you on?
Please.
Yes, sir. I spoke to the driver not 3 minutes ago and he was just turning into Sherman Road. He must be there now, looking for you as we speak this very second. No, I can't wait him on the radio if he knows it's a car, sir. If you shout, sir, you won't be able to hear him at the door, will you? I promise to be right with you. Yeah, goodbye, sir. Now, any calls to Sherland Road? Sherland Road, anyone? I've got a screamer at Sherland Road for cash. Oh. Hello, car service. Can I help you? Yes, here, sir. Who shall I thank calling? The chief inspector of Auburn. Yes, sir. Hold on a second. Mr. Harding, call for you. Line 4. Chief inspector for Auburn.
Thanks, Glenn. I've got it. Hardy here, sir. What can I do for you?
Hardy. Burning the midnight oil. The Home Office doesn't take kindly to Scotland Yard detective sergeants moonlighting as minicab controllers. Just my little joke, Hardy.
Yes, sir.
I'm completely in the picture, and if you ask me, I think you're on a hiding to nothing. It's a long shot, Hardy, especially as we've had a confirmed on his attempt at the Dover Ferry. I'm tightening the noose, Sergeant. Good, orthodox, coordinated police work. A little bed and breakfast somewhere in Kent, that's where he is. I've got a sixth sense for this sort of thing, remember?
Yes, sir.
Seriously, Alex, what do you think?
I think I should stay put, sir.
All right, Alex. Never let it be said I don't allow you latitude in your operational decision-making. But I suggest you consult an ordnance survey atlas for Kent, because that's where he is. Cold, wet, hungry, out of petrol and out of friends. Make sure you contact me tomorrow, Alex. Good night, Joe.
And good night to you, sir. Rat.
You know, Albert, I had a very Presbyterian upbringing. Nothing tawdry, mind you. A loving mother and father and a fairly easy run through adolescence. Nevertheless, it left me instilled with a very clear sense of right and wrong. And I take it very personally, Albert. Do you know what I mean? Probably makes for a better judge than Copper. In fact, there are those who have accused me of confusing the roles. Anyway, Maybe I do. Albert, your case, it affects me deeply. I'd like to solve it without seeing you crucified. I'd like you to win. Sure, the bastards, but you won't. Not till you grasp the fundamental point that it's not a question of waiting around for the lucky break. We're all on the same roller coaster, Albert. It's just that some of us aren't happy with the ride. Oh, God. I hate clichés. I can't get closer to it in words, anyway. I'm closing down Radio Free Hardy for a while. Till then, Albert. Till then.
So I'm just about to offer them a drink.
Yes.
When I look down, I see the Genghis Khan tash floating on top of the Guinness.
No.
Oh, God knows what they must have thought.
Oh, dear, Albert. You don't offer drink the fickle finger, don't you? Hey, but seriously, you've definitely done the right thing, my son. Smartest move you could make coming to see me.
Well, frankly, Max, I didn't know where else to go. You're the only person I know with.
Connections, Albert. Yeah. Connections is the word you're searching for. And you're right. Well, it'll take a bit of organising, but leave the details to me, and I swear by the two Ronnies.
Two Ronnies?
Yeah, Biggs and Knight.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be winging your way by private plane to what's that place you're always on about?
The Dordogne.
The Dordogne, of course. Well, here's to the...
Dordogne.
The...
Dordogne.
Dordogne. Now, while I'm organising your papers, and that
photo will be okay for the passport, won't it?
Oh, perfect, perfect, son. While I'm seeing after things, I'll have Horace take you over to my place. Better to lie low till the time. Safer, you know.
Max, if it's all the same, I'd rather not.
Look, I don't mind taking a risk. What are friends for?
No, I appreciate everything. But this is the way I want it.
Okay. You'll ring me at 9 tomorrow night. No promises now, but I think I can have it all organised by then.
Thanks, Max. Thanks a lot.
Good.
Are you sure you don't need more than that to get things going?
No, this little bundle should do nicely. Let's just double check, eh? $3,500 for the passport and $2,000 down payment to the pilot. No, I've got more than enough. If there's any more readies necessary, I'll see to it. After all, you're a good credit risk, eh? Eh?
Yeah. Probably for the first time in my life. And you'll see that the missus gets the $25,000.
Uh-huh.
And that the costume gets back to Mrs. Rosen.
Already done, Albert. Consider it already done. Now, you take good care of yourself. Don't get stopped for drunk driving or nothing.
No fear. Mm-hmm. I'll see myself out.
All right.
Well, thanks again. I'll definitely see you right for this, Max.
Bye. Oh, I know you will, Albert. I know you will, son.
Charles, thanks for the grub and all.
My pleasure, Albert. And is the Hulk going to sort you out then?
He sounds confident.
Aye, confidence is his middle name. But you take care, love, you hear? Albert.
Ross, you've been really great, you know. All those times...
Oh, hush your great sloppy paper.
No, really. Look, if I gave you something, call it a... When's your birthday?
September the 7th.
Oh. A Virgo.
Oh, not bloody likely.
A birthday present, then. Please take it, Rose.
Oh, Albert, you're such a bad port. What am I to do with all this? What you need is a good accountant, a good woman, and a lobotomy.
Whatever you like, Rose, but don't tell me.
No fear. I tell you what. I'll take it on one condition.
Name it.
That you take care of yourself. Use your filthy lucre to have a filthy great time. And give us a kiss goodbye.
I agree, but the kiss is unconditional.
Now off with you, you crimson pirate.
No. The great Genghis Khan.
Bye, Ron.
Thanks, love. Take the money and run, Albert. Take the money and run.
Go on, take the money and run.
Welcome, I'm sure. But I don't want you to be spending too much time with my patient.
Just a few questions.
And I don't want you going and upsetting them with your questions. If I find out that you have, they'll be sending people from Scotland Yard to come and visit you here. Now, do I make myself clear, Detective Sergeant Hardy?
Indeed you do, Sister Connolly. Indeed you do. Now, if you'll excuse me.
And I'll be back very shortly. Forewarned, Detective Sergeant Hardy. Forewarned.
Whew. I don't surprise you have such a high recovery rate here. I could see even a cripple doing a 100-yard dash to get out of her clutches.
Ah, she's not so bad. Bit overprotective, maybe, but she does all right for us cripples.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a dastardly thing that's happened to you, son. I can't do anything to change it. Forgive my insensitivity.
Leave it out. You'll bring a tear to my eye. Next, you'll have me believing that coppers are just plain folk.
Oh, nothing so radical. But I do grieve over senseless, stupid act of... Oh, by the way, Paul, you probably don't know it yet, but your assailant is going down for 6 months. And I know at least you're not going to have any problems with the insurance people. It doesn't give you anything back, but it's something.
Yeah, it's something. Every drunken driver ought to be made to spend a month on the ward here. That'd be a worthwhile short, sharp shot.
It's a good idea, Paul. I'll mention that.
Yeah, you do that.
No, I don't have long, son.
Well, I'll get down to it, then. Seems like it's a bit late to go over the details again.
I'm not here about that. I'm here about Albert Poole.
Oh.
Glenn, at the firm, is an old friend. Now, I know you rang the lads to thank them for the whip round, and that you know that there was no whip round, that it was all down to Albert. So, let's just take it from there. He picked out a nice home computer for you, didn't he?
Look, Inspector...
Detective Sergeant.
Well, you've got enough front for an inspector.
You've got that much experience with a constabulary.
Only as an observer.
Are you going to tell me what I need to know?
Well, what do you need to know? And why should I?
I need to know if he asked you about any money fancies. Or any mutual friends he might have mentioned who he'd go to for help. Or anyone you might know of that he would turn to try and hide him or to get him out of the country. That is what I need to know, Paul.
You must be joking.
And the reason you should tell me, Paul, is, wait for it, because I want to help him. I want to get to him before he makes a fatal mistake.
Don't make me laugh. It still hurts somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but somewhere.
You don't have to believe me, but you think about it. I know he's not a criminal. From what I've seen, he's just the opposite. Maybe in another time and in a different place, he'd be a venerated man instead of a put-upon loser.
He's a nice guy. He's just a nice bloke. I mean, he thinks about other people. I mean, he ain't the smartest person I've ever met, but he's near enough to the nicest. I mean, not smarmy, self-sacrificing nice, just nice. You know what I mean? And he deserves it. Best of British luck to him.
They'll do him, Paul. Rest assured, if he goes to any of them for help, they'll do him. You have to realize that.
I can't help you.
Well, that's it, then.
Forewarned, Sergeant Hardy. It's going to be the leaving, if you will.
Now, coming, Sister Connolly. I'm off.
Here, aren't you going to take the computer and the money?
Get stuffed. Live with them as a token from your friend. A memorial token. And goodbye, Paul. Keep your pecker up.
Hardy.
Yes?
I can't help you. I really can't.
Take care, son.
Come along, Sergeant. Forewarned, you were forewarned.
Do take the money and run.
Must be a quiet night for the phone. I wonder if I should call him for a job.
Mike 1-4, come in. Mike 1-4, where are you, Albert? Come in. Over.
I can't be having hallucinations. I only had 3 drinks.
Albert, if you can hear me, please acknowledge.
Come on, Albert, talk to me. I can't tell you what a wally I feel like sitting here giving monologues to the cosmos. Can you read me, Albert?
Oh, what the... Mike 1-4, MT, ready for pickup, over.
I don't believe it. Someone out there is having me on. Mike 1-4, is that really you? Over.
Yeah, it's really me. But I want to know, is it the Cosmos Taverna or the Cosmos Wine Bar you want me to pick up from? And by the way, who am I talking to?
I don't believe it. Albert,
Oh, but now listen, my name is Alex. Alex Hardy. I'm going to tell you who I am, but I don't want it to spook you.
Spook? Look, mate, if you've been through half of what I've been through in the last few days, you'd know that there are very few things left that could spook me. Over.
Okay, here goes. Albert, I'm Detective Sergeant Alex Hardy. I'm in charge of the London-based unit assigned to your case. Over. Come on, Albert. Stay with me. But you can call me Alex.
And you can call me Burke. If you think I'm going to transmit while you and Big Brother triangulate me out of my winnings. Over.
Big Brother here. Triangulate you? You've been watching too many license fee commercials on the television, mate. I'd rather strangulate you. Oh, gee, slow down, Hardy.
No, cancel that last remark. You to the moment, Albert. Honestly, you're safe. My word. Even if I wanted to, there's no way. Me being here is a long shot. No one else even knows I've done 30 years. Over. Oh, come on, Albert. I want to talk to you. Whether you get away with it or not, I want to talk to you. Over. Please, Albert, please. Over.
Come on, Albert. Give it a shot.
Okay. I've thought about it. I'm not 100% sure about this not being a setup, but... Over.
But you'll take the chance. Over.
Yeah. I'll take the chance. What can I do for you, Alex?
Don't get cheeky, Albert. Remember, you're the criminal and I'm the law. Over.
Cancel that last remark. Heat of the moment. I wouldn't want to get into more trouble with the law for being cheeky.
Touché, Albert, touché. Suppose I can overlook the informality and the circumstances. Alex, it is then.
That must have been a fairly heady few days for you, Albert. Over.
Heady. Heady? It's been totally insane. Anyone who says things are easy when you've got plenty of loot don't know what they're talking about. Over.
And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about, Albert.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm all ears. Over.
Have you seen yourself on the box?
Did I ever? Made me drop my moustache and me pulling.
What? What was that?
Nothing, Alex. Forget it. Yeah, so what do you want? Thanks for making me a TV star.
No thanks necessary, Albert. All part of the service. Like closing off all your possible exits. Everything's covered. Ports, airports, ferries, the lot.
Not everything, Alex. Not everything.
Oh, you sound confident. Can I assume you feel you found a chink in our armor?
You assume what you like, Alex. But you can quote me that the one time in my life that a bit of bunt has come my way, after all the years of trying and being mucked over, of being let down, of being the chump who's always left holding the baby, the one who has all the great ideas but can't raise the cash, you think I'm going to kick this gift horse in the mouth and go out without a murmur? I've been plenty stupid in my life, Alex. But I'm not crazy.
Albert, I understand better than you think. I've checked out your background. I've had a long chat with your missus. Spent some time with little Albie. He's a cute kid. Missus is dad.
Now, don't you start that with me. I love my kid. I love his mum and all. Even though we're no good together. I'd never do anything to hurt him. Or them. If anything, I want to take this bit of good luck and finally become what I could be. For them, too. You know, I'm not a bad builder. I could be a really good architect. I still could be.
So don't put any psychological stuff on me, mate.
I don't know, Albert, you're taking me wrong. I meant that I really understand how you must be feeling. I relate to your condition. Believe me, I do. I know what it's like to slog and have high expectations and then find that through no fault of your own it doesn't happen. Someone else gets the glory and you have to start over from scratch. While all around you others are reaping the rewards by cutting corners or just being that bit luckier, you're looked on as some kind of a joke or a good sort who can always be relied on to get the job done, but never invited to the payoff when the awards are given out. And all the time inside, you carry around this unrecognized capacity to be amazing. The shine. It's crippling, Albert. It's deadening. And it turns you into the worst kind of cynic. Or worse, you become a clown. A clown, Albert. Over.
So you understand, over.
Yeah, I understand. Albert, please. I've kept the door open for you. You can't make it. I almost wish you could, but you can't. Come in. No. I promise I'll do everything I can for you. I'm sure we can work out a story. Shock, whatever. You won't have to serve time. Please, Albert, you can't make it. They won't let you. Over.
Albert, are you there?
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for that. You know I've got to go for it. I'll make it this time. Alex, I'll make it. After I get settled out there, I'll contact you. Maybe even help you out. Get you started in a new career or something. It's going to be all right. The cosmic giggle is finally sharing the joke with me personally. Finally, Alex, I've got to see it through. Wish me luck, Alex.
I've got to try and catch you, Albert. You understand?
Yeah, I do, but don't be too sure. Looks to me like this time I'm on a winner. I'm signing off. Tomorrow's a big day for me, Alex. Best of luck with it all. Thank you, Alex. Over and out.
Thank you, Albert. Good luck.
I love that stuff, and dim sum. I reckon I could eat 3 meals a day. I mean, I ask you, were those paper-wrapped prawns like a night with Helen Mirren, eh? I think I'll retire to Hong Kong, surrounded by mountains of kaijiang and glutinous rice in vine leaves.
You're the worst sort of hedonist, Drew Stone.
What sort's that?
The sort that belches ginger, garlic and chilli in people's faces.
Sorry. I just thought, seeing as we've made Soho a low-life fellow home away from home, we might as well try and take advantage of its more wholesome delights. And if you don't mind me saying so, you look like you haven't eaten or slept for days.
Well, you're at it again. Impressing me with your precocious observational abilities, not to mention your growing propensity to take the responsibilities for this case totally on your own shoulders.
If you're having a go, sir, that's a little obscure for me.
I'll give you a hint. Broadbent rang me at the minicab office.
Oh, is that it? Is that what you've got to hump with me about? The governor, yours and mine, tracks me down only because our car has the usual two-way radio, standard equipment, if you recall. But you're not in it, are you? You're up in that bloody minicab office talking to the white noise of night. And he wants to know why you haven't made a report in 2.5 days. And you're not with me. Accusing me of disloyalty. Hey, with respect, sir, get knotted. And another thing, I'm not nimble enough to be the shuttlecock on your little match with Broadbent.
Et too, Druidstone.
I don't think that's funny.
Now, which hand did he hold the 30 pieces of silver? Was it the one about loyalty to the department must be greater than one's loyalty to any individual, even your partner?
Watch it, sir.
Or did he just waft lyrical about the kind of future a bright young thing like yourself can look forward to if you tell tales out of school? Didn't take him long to find your weak spot.
That's it. I'm off. Find yourself another mirror. I'm through reflecting.
All right, Druidstone. As you say, I haven't slept well of late. I just hate having that Chief Inspector Broadbent breathing over my shoulder.
More ginger, garlic and chilli.
Eh? Oh, no, 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 I see. No, more like bile, brimstone and bombast. Here. Huh? Hang about a minute. Let me see that list.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, here it is. Aladdin's Cave. Come on, this should be a hoot.
Who's the black version of Ben Nevis?
Don't worry. Come on.
Ah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Come on in. Still a few seats left by the bar. Wait a second. Ah, dining, dancing, disco, delicious darling, delicate delight.
Don't worry, son, you'll get the hang of it soon enough. Max's scripts have always been a wee bit post-structuralist.
Yeah, Max says this is my big chance, but I don't
think. Well, I bet somebody's on the phone to Peter Hall about you this very minute. Now, if Max is in, we'll just mosey on down.
Hey! You don't go down there without a ticket, right?
Oh, you are a big boy, aren't you? Now, don't get into fourth gear yet. Druidston, show him your warrant card.
Yes, sir. Here we are.
Okay, I suppose.
Good lad. Now, we're just going to go downstairs and say hello to our old friend Max, right?
Right.
And what I want you to do is to keep rehearsing.
Right.
No, Ros. Before 11, everybody gets their first drink out of the normal bottle, and then after 11, out the bottles that have been cut. And what's the cut, Ros?
What do you think I am, an idiot?
And what's the cut, Ros?
One part scotch to one part water.
Right. So as if by magic, one bottle becomes two. And I want you to do the same with the gin, vodka and Bacardi.
I do, Max. Honest, I do. Now, what about the brandy?
Now, what? Are you kidding? I run a class establishment here. A punter pays £6 for a Remy, he gets a Remy. Mind you, let's try cutting the Martell and Courvoisier by a third, eh? See what happens.
I think we've got company, Max.
Oh, dear, Max. I do fear you can forget any chance of a listing in Egg and Ronnie's good sleazy strip joint guide for this year.
Alex Hardy. Hello, Sergeant. Where's your wig and black cap? You remember Alex Ross? Thinks he's a policeman, but he's really Judge Jeffreys without a bench.
Easy, Max. You don't have that much latitude with me.
Oh, don't take any notice of the Bamport. Dear Alex, can I offer you and your friend a drink? It's been a wee while.
Hello, Roy. It's nice to see you. Even here. Yeah, well, under the circumstances, two large Remy's. Eh, Constable?
Bloody hell, there goes the week's profit.
Oh, belt up, Max. Here's your tasty friend, Alex.
This is Detective Constable Druidstone, rising star of serious crimes.
Pleased to meet you, Mum.
Oh, swoon. I've always been a sucker for a gentleman. Haven't I, Alex? Here you are, lads. Cheers, Alex.
Cheers, Ross. Excuse me asking, Max, but what are you supposed to be in that get-up?
Oh, part of bringing the place into the late 80s. We're going up market. You know, tramps, string fellows, that sort of gear. This is my neo-post-new wave outfit. What do you think?
You look like a cross between Liberace and Nigel Lawson.
Not fair, Alex, not fair. Couple of more weeks on his high-fibre diet and I'll really look the business.
The only high-fibre you know about is when some alpaca jumpers fall off the back of a lorry.
Oh, now, Alex, water under the bridge. I'm just a hard-working businessman. Impresario, if you get my drift.
Now, a body could drown in your drift, Max. Now, in any case, this isn't just a pleasant social call.
Oh, you disappoint me, Sergeant.
We're on the trail of one Albert Poole, until recently a night driver with Pick Quick Cabs. He used to pick up here regularly, Max.
Oh, yeah? Ain't he the geezer who came into some readies the other day? Seen it on the box. Good for him, I say.
You recognise the photo? Royals?
We must call in 20, 30 cabs a night here, Alex. Face means nothing to me.
Roy?
It could be, Alex. I think I may have seen him.
No more than that?
No. No more than that. But I tell you what, Alex. I'd rather buy him a drink than shop him. Oh, it's nothing personal, Alex.
I understand, Roy. And from what I've heard, he's a sort of likable bloke who's been dealt nothing but losing cards.
So?
So I want to get him to come in out of the cold before he gets hurt.
still the White Knight, Alex.
No fear, Roz. Oh, and there's a reasonable reward in it, Max, just in case being a good citizen isn't enough motivation for anyone.
Makes all the difference, Alex. Leave the gin with Roz here, and we'll certainly do our civic duty.
Oh, shut it, Max, will you? You leave it here with me. I'll show the 40 around to the girls and that.
Thanks, kid, and here's a number to ring. If I'm not there, speak to my young friend here. He's reliable.
Mm. He looks it.
Roz?
Oh, don't worry, Alex. I've learned my lesson about getting soppy over a cop.
Be good, Roz. Nice to see you again.
Aye. To see you nice. I won't say don't be a stranger. You always were.
Goodbye, Mum.
Oh, you wee slasher.
I'll be seeing you. Take care.
Go safely, Alex.
Are they gone, Ross?
Aye, you great brave thing, you can come out now.
Oh, shut up and get me chips on the blower. And the very second Albert calls, put him through. And don't say anything to him about Hardy being here either. I don't want you scaring him off. You got that?
Any more orders like that, and I'll cancel your vote, personally, you fat pillock.
Still the White Knight, Alex. What was all that about? You know, you're really beginning to amaze me.
Only beginning?
Everybody in this town, you know, owes you a favour, wants to take you apart. She's still quite a looker.
You should have seen her at 19, back in Glasgow. The belle of the ball, she was.
And bawling ever since.
If by chance you ever get another glimpse of people's personal tragedies, you try and remember that you're in the soap opera as well. It'll add that touch of humanity that makes it all bearable.
I'm sorry, Ma. Sorry.
Now, I'm going back to the minicab office and sleep a bit. You go see these last two places and then take the rest of the afternoon off and put in an appearance at the shop at 7. Oh, and give my best to Chief Inspector Broadbent. Give me an alarm call from there, right?
Okay. But I'm trying to decide.
What's that?
Whether I want to take you apart or if I owe you a favour.
Get thee to a public house. And don't forget the alarm call.
Well, that's how it is. The plane will be ready to go at 9:30. The pilot's an old member of the firm. Everybody's happy with their wages, and I'll bring Horace along. Just for insurance.
Sounds fine, Max. I didn't think you could organise it all so quick.
Professionalism, son. Contacts and professionalism. Smartest thing you ever did was coming to see me about this business.
And you're sure everything's going to be okay the other end?
Don't worry about a thing. My man's got intimate knowledge of this little airfield, smack right in the middle of the...
Dordogne.
Dordogne. Hasn't been used for yonks, except by a couple of class smugglers. And do I get a big hand for your passport stamp or what? Just a little prezi, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's great, Max. Just great.
Albert, I'd be a lot happier if we all went down to the airfield together in my motor.
No, Max. Don't worry, I'll be there.
9:30, son. We'll be tanked up and ready. And, Albert, you don't get airsick, do you?
But I, Max. Never flown before.
Well, what's it like playing Tonto to add his Lone Ranger?
Oh, it'll probably take us a month to catch up on the paperwork, man. Not to mention the week in the sanitarium that should come with a job.
I know a bloke worked with Addy 6 months ago. He's still trying to catch up.
Very humorous.
Yeah, there's some woman on line 3 asking for Addy.
That reminds us. I've got to give me Lord and Master his alarm call. D.C. Druids and D.C. Hardy isn't here just now. May I help you? Oh, hello. Sure, I remember you. What's up?
Listen, Petal, I can only say this once. Tell Hardy, Max is on his way to some private airfield. It's called Ashland, somewhere near the Kent coast. He's supposed to be flying Albert across the channel. Except that I just overheard Max before he left. It's not even a one-way excursion. More like a halfway and dump.
What about Sleeping Beauty in the back room? The drive is starting to rumble. I don't know a place for a little pontoon in a street makes some jittery of having her own living
there. Oh, leave it out, Lynn. Let the drivers keep at home like they ought to, or in their cars. Most of them drive like they were asleep anyway. Let him lie a bit longer. He's going to be here forever.
Well, fair enough. In fact, he's got a new telephonist and all.
Mike 14 here, parcel on board. You receive me, Alex? Alex, can you hear me?
If you can't, it doesn't matter.
This is my last communication, Alex. This is it. I'm on my way to freedom. I'm finally going to make my stand, Alex. You know what I mean. Don't think I'm going to squander it. Nah, not this time. I'm determined to make it, and this time I'll make it work. Make a difference somewhere.
Well, that's about it. Don't try to contact me. I'm switching off now. Look after yourself, Alex, and don't think too bad of me. Ta-ta.
Is that man detective Lewis talking? Line 7. He wants to speak to the elder.
Yeah, sure, I'll get him. Mr. Hardy, sorry to disturb you. It's your mate on the line.
Hmm?
Mr. Hardy?
Hmm?
Sergeant?
Oh. Yes? Oh, I knew it. Oh, I bloody knew it. Have you contacted the locals? Right, good. Well, get your bum over here and get ready for some serious driving. Albert. Albert, can you hear me, Albert? It's a setup, Albert. They're going to do you, you wally.
Tonight, tonight won't be like any night. Tonight there'll be no... How's that going? We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Damn it, Albert, what a time to switch off.
Oh, dear.
What?
I think I just drove over a hedgehog.
It's the price we pay for having them.
What?
Sorry, I was thinking of something else.
Well, I wasn't. I hate the idea that in the pursuit of stopping one crime from being committed...
If we ever get there.
...that while engaged in crime prevention and detection, I'm going around causing pain and hurt to my fellow beings.
Especially hedgehogs.
Is sarcasm your only response to the human condition?
I'll be grateful there's only a hedgehog every now and then. I've run over a marriage. Squashed it flat, I did. Not to mention betraying a sacred trust or two along the way.
Caution, police work can be damaging to your principles.
It's the price we pay for having them. It's you for a jaunty. You're not as boring as you make out.
Gee, Sarge, from you that really means a lot to me.
Well, not bad, not bad.
What about Albert?
What about him?
It's not for me to say.
Then don't.
But isn't your interest in it more to do with...
Hey, there it is. God, looks like a bloody Ku Klux Klan outing. Pull in over there. Who's in charge?
What's it to you? And turn off those parking lights.
Who is in charge? Whoever he is expecting me. Detective Sergeant Hardy. Come on, son. Push another lever.
What? Chief Inspector Gnome. He's over there.
Great. Mr. Gnome?
Yes?
I'm Hardy.
I'm sorry. We got here as quick as we could. We could hear them take off.
How long ago?
Oh, about 20 minutes. We're going to... No. If I'm not mistaken, those are his landing lights. Excuse me while I check on my deployment. We want to make sure the welcoming committee is intimate. Oh, by the way, are these men armed?
If you call voodoo being armed.
What?
I reckon not, but it never hurts.
Ah, well, at least it's not a man in the yellow mini, eh?
Or five young lads in a Holloway rod.
Look, here she comes.
Do you mind if I join your welcoming committee?
Well, I think it would be incomplete without you. Oh, I have a message for you from Chief Inspector Broadbent.
Oh, yeah?
He said the case is cracked. The money's from some kind of foreign exchange swindle, and the villains are in custody. He wants you back as soon as you've recovered the money. Some kind of press conference.
By all means.
Be cool, Sarge.
Don't turn on the spots till they're all out on the tarmac, okay? Now hold it. Hold it. Now!
Hands up! This is the police! Hands up now!
Come on, let's go.
Graham! Stop it! Don't move!
Hands! Do you mind?
Where is he?
What is all this?
Where is he, mate?
Mr. Hardy, I don't know what you're talking about.
They've got the money in a hold all, Sarge.
Albert Poole, that's who, Max. Where's Albert?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him? Never heard of Albert Poole? Oh, let it go. Let me go. Okay, let me go.
Now, for God's sake, Hardy, what do you call this? This is going in my report, I'm afraid. Maybe this plant is in the neck, but not here.
I'll put a lid on it, you jumped up Touareg.
Come on, Sarge! I'm staying for the money. Let's go, please! Come on!
And I'd like to say another thing. If it were not for the much maligned central computer and the use of the highest technological advances now possible, this crime would have gone completely undetected.
Then may we take it, Chief Inspector, that this case has been solved by Scotland Yard's use of state-of-the-art detection technology?
Good point. Let me reiterate that if we are to counteract the crimes of the late 20th and the 21st centuries, we must be at least one step ahead. The most effective public expenditure for the most effective crime prevention.
You will hardly see operations cost so far.
There's another drink.
Come on, Sarge.
Call me Alex.
Come on, Alex.
Come on, where? Eh? Another drink, D.C. Druidstone. What the hell is your first name? I've forgotten.
Malcolm.
Top yourself up, Malcolm. I'm going to propose a toast. Good. That's it. To absent friends, Malcolm. To losers. To people who take a stand, Malcolm. And to Mr. Albert Poole, my comrade in arms. My mate.
Listen, Alex, I'm going to get you some black coffee, okay? Just sit down. You've done a great job. Even if it is a Pyrrhic broadbent taking all the credit.
Well, it doesn't matter, dear boy. It doesn't matter to toss. And let me tell you something about life. Life, my dear Malcolm, is made up by a series of betrayals. Now, does that surprise you, eh? Does that surprise you?
Please sit down, Alex. You're going to do yourself an injury lurching around like that, man.
Betrayal. Life is one long betrayal, Malcolm. One long betrayal. You're either betraying someone or being betrayed by someone. And that's not counting the times that you betray yourself and your principles, your ideals.
I'm sure you're right, Alex.
Oh, you're going to humour me. You're nothing but a novice at it. You're hardly wet behind the ears in the old betrayal game. The only game in town.
Alex, please.
You know, I once had a friend who was the best friend at school. We both cheated in an exam. My friend got caught. And with a little bit of pressure and some righteous threats, my friends panicked. He put me in the frame. Well, of course, we're not talking elections on the gunner. It's no big deal to hear you say.
Oh, did
it? But the upshot of it was, my friend, and you'll love this, my friend ended up convincing himself that he'd done me a favour, that he'd saved me from going down that long road of rack and ruin, and that I should be grateful to him. Now, isn't the human mind a wonderful thing?
A wonderful thing. Just wonderful.
I don't care, I really don't care. But why don't we at least admit it?
Admit what, Alex?
Sure, come here, Malcolm, come here. We're closer. Admit what? Admit what? The hypocrisy of it, the self-seeking expediency of it all, Malcolm. We do it to ourselves all the time, Malcolm. We demand it. We love it. We thrive on it. Screw anybody, then spend some energy to work up a righteous indignation, eh? Oh, then screw them up all over again.
Calm down, Alex, my pity!
Oh, good. Do you know what I see?
What?
You know what I see when I look in the mirror?
Oh, Alex!
I see a bloated, tired person. I see a person who needs to numb himself with booze and work. To numb himself from the screaming mediocrity of it all, Malcolm. The all-encompassing, god-awful, all-pervasive mediocrity of my life. Damn life. And that is not it, Malcolm. That is not the half of it. It's about going for it, Malcolm. Damn the consequences. That's for the cowards and the cravens. Just go for it, Malcolm. You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes I think I do, Alex. But right now, I think some caffeine is going to do you more good than going for it. You just relax with the loot, Alex. I'll be right back.
Just go for it, Malcolm. And don't forget to recognize a team member when you bump into one. A brother in arms. There are visionaries about. Just keep your eyes open, Malcolm.
Sure, Alex. Just sit there. I'll be right back.
How about a shot of you with the money, Chief Inspector?
Oh, well, I suppose, under the circumstances. But I want you to include my team in the photo. I want to emphasize again, it's not just one man here. There's a great team of dedicated officers. That's how these successes come about. Genuine cooperative effort. Well, here we are. Constable? What's going on? Where's Hardy?
He's gone, sir.
Where's the money?
Gone. It's gone, sir.
Who's there?
parcel for you, Mrs. Bull.
I'm not expecting any parcel.
Don't want the maid to see the signature.
All right.
Just sign here. Ta.
Albie, come here.
Ah, Denise, say nothing.
Well, look, lady, how about just an X? I've got to have it, otherwise I don't get paid for the journey.
Oh, all right. Here. You happy?
Oh, ecstatic. So.
Oh, God. Oh. He's yours. The bell of the bull.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, my good man. A one-way ticket to Le Havre. And do you have a map of southern France? One that includes the Dordogne region?
Mon Dieu!
Il y a un cadavre là-dedans!
Mais tu plaisantes!
Non, regardez! Vite, vite, dépose-le à bord!
God!
Qu'est-ce qu'il y a?
Oh, il est dégueulasse! Does anybody speak English?
Yes, I do. I am the first mate.
Qu'est-ce que vous foutez là avec les poissons? Ah, vous êtes un grand pour être un mourant, être un laid pour être un serrère.
What's going on? What did he say?
My captain says,
what are you doing in his neck? You are too big for a cod and too ugly for a mermaid. Good, no?
Yes, yeah, great.
I'm a lone yachtsman.
Capsized.
Oh, Mark, glad to see you. Notre sirène me compte qu'il est un yachtsman isole qui vous remercie de lui avoir sauvé la vie.
Ah, ça ne m'étonne pas. Vous avez vraiment de la chance.
Ah oui, my captain is not surprised that you are glad. He says you are a very lucky man.
Very lucky, yeah.
Very lucky.
lucky.
I think you might have something there.
You could be answering, yeah.
Ask the captain something for me.
Yes, of course, my fortunate amphibian friend.
What is it?
What's your home port?
I can tell you that. It is Bordeaux.
How far is that from the Dordogne?
You've been listening to Where Are You, Wally? By Barry Wasserman. From a story by Barry Wasserman and Patrick Carroll. Detective Sergeant Hardy was played by Bill Patterson, and Alfred Molina was Albert. Sean Prendergast played Drudston. Jennifer Piercy was Roz. Pauline Letts played Mrs. Rosen. Edward D'Souza was Broadbent. Deborah Makepeace was Mrs. Poole. And Janice Winters was Mrs. Hardy. Ronald Herdman played Max. Louis Mahoney, Horace. And Paul B. Davis was Paul. Andrew Branch was Glenn. Garrard Green, Natasha Pine, Stephen Rashbrook, Avril Clark, and members of the company played other parts. The director was Ned Shyer.